I just want to start from a document that I just ended up in my hand, not very far away, a long time ago. It's a document that was written in 1992 and 1993 by a man, Monsieur Jean-Paul Desbiens. Maybe some people know it better than me, especially the academic people. This guy was called, apparently he's a French from Quebec, he was called Father Un Tel, which means Father Someone. Believe it or not, which for me is very interesting, this man in 1992-1993 was requested by the Quebec government to write a study, a document, on what it means to be Aboriginal people in these days. He was a French Quebecois, and this paper was going to be presented in 1992-1993 in a colloque for the Quebec government to develop global politics on Aboriginal people. This guy never lived on a native land. He went a few days or a few weeks, I think, in Pobonituk and also in other Indian land in Quebec. It's very interesting. One of the big kind of conclusion it came up to is like native and have to understand with regard to land, they can never get back, they can never turn the history around. And we have to understand that the Halunat, or the white people, if you want, the people in South, are the majority. So obviously, they are entitled to the land these days because they are the majority. Maybe he's right to some extent when we talk about Montreal, Quebec, and many cities around, but further away north, and especially above the 50 parallel, they are mostly native. So if its theory is really applicable to the native people, as they are the majority, they should be entitled to completely to their land, if I understand. But it doesn't turn around like this. So he presented those documents, which was to be the basis of the politics, the Quebec politics on native. So it gives you an idea. One of these big conclusions when he went to visit the native reserve, he has to come to the conclusion that they were living in a very high level of poverty that has never been experienced down south here. Also, the suicide rate was very high. Disease were very high. He had to admit all this. So the conclusion was because of what we found these days as a very general ideas for everybody that goes to work with native in general is because of the shock between two civilizations, or more precisely, between the uncivilized with the one with the modern life. What it means, the shock with modernity? It means complete and destruction of their way of living. I don't know if we can call that a shock when we call it destruction. I think it's a nice way to put things. When I say complete destruction, if we look at the native, if we look at the Inuit people who have been living since 1995, it's been documented, it's clear, and even they still did it in 2003, they killed literally the dogs for the slave, the way that the Inuit used to carry their slave and go and hunt. So it means to put them on the reserves, to destroy their dogs, to force them to live in a house that they have never known before, houses that are built, and the number also of those houses are decided by the government. I mean, they cannot decide whenever they want to move one house to another. They live crowded in a house. It means also destroying their water, because Hydro-Quebec has been, with all the barrage that the dam that they built, and all the dam also that the government helped to build with some American company like Bechtel and many other companies that were financed very strongly in the 70s and 80s to build dam. Those dams have polluted most of their river up north. So the water, there's not even running water that is decent up north. So the conclusion of Jean-Paul Desbiens is that finally, what should be done is that the Inuit people, and one of these conclusions is clear like this, it's maybe the Inuit and Native, they should consider that the reserve is a home, but they should come and live in a big city and get their education and work like everybody else. And go back home sometime for just resources themselves and their family, get a little bit their spirit. That's, and we know what happened for most of the Native that ended up this way, rejected from the, because they have to get out of their reserve, forced to get out because there's nothing, or we know most of them ended up here on the street, or in a, they are considered most of the time third citizen. If you remember in the 90s, and it started in the 80s, but in the 90s, there was the big crisis started where we heard all these politics in Quebec, in particular the Quebec politics on the budget. We have to cut the budget. We have to cut all the services because we have to decrease our debts. The people, we know that here, the people that suffer the most in our big city are the poor people, and even like students, I've noticed that, and health. But the people up north, they did suffer a lot for that. Because we have to understand that the people up north, especially in the Nunavik, they consider, and they've been considered historically for many, many, since the white people started to go up north, they've been considered expensive. They don't bring anything to what we call our civilization. That's the way they've been seen. They're expensive. They're perceived as expensive. And when I say expensive, you have to understand also that the land up north is one of the richest in the world in nickel. They are fine also in the interior, a little bit south, around Chibougamau, some diamond, but it cannot compete with South Africa and Peru in gold. And so, but the nickel is the second largest in the world in the Nunavik. So we don't want to spend our money on the Inuit people there. So I think now, in up north, they have discovered a better solution, and it's the same also in other developed countries, is the question of contraceptive and making sure that the growth of the population doesn't go too far, and also is decreased. In the 90s, there was systematic work being done in the Nunavik up north, in particular by one doctor that I mentioned before at another conference, Dr. Tom DeMarco. And by the way, this person has no casier judiciaire, so he can practice all these things all over the world again. This man was systematically using Depo Provera and Norplant up north, and also forcing young women in the age of production to produce by harassing their mother to make sure that their girls, as soon as they have their period, they are being they are having Depo Provera and Norplant. Even at that time, Norplant was not recognized in Canada by the government. And this doctor did his job like very well known. Even he was, we could see his result, his conclusion, because he succeeded to decrease the growth of the population in the Nunavik of 75% in 1 year. And it's and this big success presented was presented in the Scientific Review of Medicine. And it was presented as a very good, a very good support to the cost of the health up north, because the children are supposedly the children are supposedly very expensive. But to these days, there is still a work that is being done to decrease the population. There is still the enforcement, the harassment with the Depo Provera that is done by the health community. And even sometimes they send in school, they send people from south, from Montreal or Quebec to enforce the use of Depo Provera in school, saying that the major problems with kids, with babies, is the age of the women. It's very interesting because I've never seen any study that can hold that. On the opposite, I stood as a nurse, I looked through all the studies. And in particular, I looked at the study that was produced by the government in Quebec on the well-being in Kativik region in 1997. And the most interesting thing is that the study showed mostly that the problems of with pregnancy and in general sexual relations was the sexually transmitted disease. And we very well know that Depo Provera do not protect. And absolutely, even if that was presented as a major problems amongst the people, especially for the newborn coming from a mother that are very often positive with sexually transmitted during the pregnancy, no work has never been done or emphasized on the protection and how those diseases are being transmitted. Because this is not a priority. Why it is not a priority? Because the objective is never to make this population grow healthy.